What is going on in the interwebs podcast world? My name is Mitch Corbett. Welcome to another edition of the podcast called Hello, How Are You Today? This week we have a great guest. He's a newer comedian, I think. He's very, very funny. I think he's hilarious. But as far as I'm aware, he's just new to the comedy scene or new to the comedy scene in London, Ontario. But his name is G. I don't know G that much, so this podcast is going to be great for me because I get to ask him all these awesome questions about his love of comedy, how he feels about the scene, why he's going to keep on doing it, all that great stuff. He's a cool dude. He's a great dude. I know he's a Raptors fan because I talked to him earlier today, and the day that we're filming this, at least, and he had all the Raptors garb on, so we'll talk some Raptors, we'll talk some sports, we'll talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about, but it's going to be a great episode, so let's get to the episode with G. You have a very inspicuous name, so it's like hard to find.
Yeah, G. Kelly. Yeah, it's just not my real.
What is it, G. Kelly? G. Kelly?
G. Kelly. G-E-E-T-E-L-E.
I was going to say, like, you pay a Grace Kelly? Like,
I saw, like, a really sad video of R. Kelly, like, singing to fans through the jail phone. And they're like sending him money. It's just, oh man. There's all the bad stuff. Who cares?
Telly G?
Yeah, G Telly, yeah. That's my, I thought we were friends on Facebook.
T E L L Y?
T E L E. Hello, hello.
Oh, I see.
But it's okay. I got the. We're good now.
No, I don't. There you are. Yeah, I see her. G-T-G-T-L. So, G-E-E, tell-E-L-E.
Yeah, yeah.
You.
It used to be G-T-V, and then they said it wasn't a real name, and they made me change it.
Yeah, TV is everyone's thing. You can't just everyone's last name.
Televisions aren't copyrighted.
You think that, but Samsung might have something to say about that, my friend.
So what do you record? Do you just record it on Zoom? Is that what you do?
Yeah, man. And I got like a whole thing that I edit, post it, and everything like that too.
Sick.
So do you wanna come and be a guest on my other podcast?
Yeah, sure. We'll see how this goes.
Well, no. Let me tell you the premise of the podcast, and then you can.
No, not the dick one. I don't know about that one, bro.
No. Yeah, I'm inviting you to be on the dick one.
I don't know about that.
Bro. Come on, bro. All it is we just look at dicks and judge them.
I thought it was like a girls podcast.
Yeah, but you need.
You were just a guest.
No, I'm the host. I'm the straight white male that has opinions that we need.
Are you sure you're straight? You have a dick podcast?
Dude, look at my shirt. Of course I'm
straight. Is that a real brewing company?
Yeah. So my wife and I lived in Newfoundland for 2 years. So we lived in Bay Roberts. And
yeah. The
town of Dildo is like half an hour away. And they have the Dildo Brewing Company and all that fun stuff.
So it's a town.
Yeah, it's a legit town.
Okay. Do they embrace it? Do they have stores?
Yeah, of course. They had a whole thing with Jimmy Kimmel a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that. No one watches cable anymore. But the town is named after a dodo that's like it's something for a boat. I think it's an awning for a boat or something like that. It's not natural. It's not like a fallible item, if you will.
Phallus.
So, all right, before we start, let's talk Raptors, because they didn't have to go through the play-in and all that shit like that.
I didn't know how big of a Raptor fan you are. I'm a diehard. I'm not doing Forked River. Actually, I can't do Forked River tomorrow because of that.
I'm not.
The exact same time.
Yeah, you can catch the fourth quarter. Come on, it's just a call. Nothing matters until the fourth quarter.
I'm a diehard fan, bro. It's game one, man.
So I got to take you off the list. I thought you were.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to tell you. Sorry, I surprised you, man, like that. I didn't know the timing. I didn't know what was going on. I get together with like old high school friends. It's like a thing, man. I don't know.
Why don't you just come do the first set of night and then leave?
It's still not. Maybe
says 7, but the game really doesn't start to like 7:30 or so.
What time is the game actually?
I think they say 7 o'clock, but like then there's like I don't know if that's the actual ball drop.
I think they say six. I think they're saying 6, but it's probably gonna start.
No, but I don't know how much of that is like pregame, right? Because they always like.
Yeah, I'll start at 6:30.
The pregame usually starts like The pregame takes forever. It's too long, to be honest.
And how long do you think this comedy night is going to go? It's not going to go as long as the last one, I guess. But
No, we got it limited. But if you show up, I'll give you like a quick five, and then you can just get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. I'll try. I want to do comedy on the weekends. I'm itching to do comedy on the weekends. It's tough to find stuff in London, right?
Right.
So like, there's paid shows once a month.
So let me ask you this. Like, you're diehard. Where were you when that Kawhi hit that shot?
I was with my boys. We had this like warehouse where we created like a Raptors Central. We created our own little pub. That's how diehard I am. And I cried, bro. Like when they, I don't know, man. I just went through all the pain, man. You know, you've like, how old are you? You're like 28. You're a young guy, right?
No, I'm 33, bro.
I'm 38. Like I'm a little older. So I went through like Vince Carter quitting on us.
Yeah, bro. Same.
Like I'm being bad. Like, oh,
I'm probably not as diehard as you. Cause like,
yeah.
The last time I went to go see a Raptors game, it was the Chris Bosh era, and they played the Oklahoma City Thunder, and like the defense was atrocious. Durant just kept on dunking, and yeah. Bosh is just like hands up in the air, like fucking doing nothing. I'm like, my friends and I left at halftime because it was such a terrible game. It was like so disappointing. Like, and like when you think about Chris Bosh leaving, you think about Carter leaving, McGrady leaving, and it's just like. And, like, they got the championship. Thank God. God bless Kawhi Leonard. But Durant or DeRozan was the one guy. He was like, I want to stay. And then they ship him off. That broke my heart. That tested my fandom.
So I've got a kind of a weird thing with DeRozan. Like, so I was the guy just saying DeRozan and Casey have to go. There's no way we're going to win with these two guys. Like, they're loyal and they're like this and that. But so you know how it is. Like, you got to make the
all-stars,
hard decisions.
All-stars, though. All-stars. Guys that, like, we're all stars, like voted on. Like, I mean,
yeah. Have you ever heard the saying, the enemy of great is good? So like DeRozan was just good enough to like be that all-star and be there, but he couldn't get us over the top. And that's why it was so hard to let him go, right?
Well, I don't know, because I feel like, I mean, how long do you wait though? Like, because I feel like eventually
they gave him a lot of time, man. They crapped the bed in the playoffs a lot of times.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, if he had Kyle Lowry, DeRozan, and like a Charles Oakley leadership guy just was like, you guys are doing it all wrong. I think they could have gotten over.
I still don't think it was enough. You always need a superstar. And Kawhi is a superstar. Ivan, what are you doing?
Why did you?
Is he actually doing this?
What happened? What is happening?
So I used his Facebook to link. I shouldn't have done it. I used the link on his Facebook to get over to my laptop. And I knew leaving the link open for this clown would I think he's just messing around.
Hi, Ivan.
What's he doing?
I don't know. He's gonna do some demon scary shit.
Do you count down or this is you just edited it?
No, we're already rolling, bro.
We're already rolling?
Yeah, of course, bro.
Oh, sweet, man.
Yeah, just a conversation.
What else are you? We talked raps. So I'm obviously I'm a diehard raps fan.
Dude, we're just talking. It's fucking, I can guide the conversation. Don't worry. It's fine.
All right.
Oh, wait, Ivan's going to show us his dick. This is a prequel to Dick or Not to Dick.
Yo, Ivan, if you're going to drop in like that, at least have some good lighting. Looks like he's coming directly from Kiev. reporting on the war. What's going on, buddy?
That's why the signal's going. Oh, there he's going. That one last bomb hit. Poor Ivan.
So how long have you been doing comedy? It's my podcast now.
So the first time I ever performed was back in like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done on and off again since then. I've done some gigs I haven't done gigs. Yeah. But I performed on cruise ships when I was an employee on cruise ships, so like in part
nice.
And shit like that, just for like talent show shit.
Did they make you wear the shirts?
No, this is I did it like for a talent show, so you could wear whatever you want. I had like a nice vest and fancy.
you're classy to
the vest. Well, no, I worked. The vest does no longer fit, so I can't. Gotta really start hitting the gym, my friend.
You enjoy that? How long did you do that for?
Eight contracts, so like too long, like a long time, almost eight.
Like a tour, like an army tour, like I'll take another one. I'll do it.
It's an addictive lifestyle. I got friends on ships right now So it's not, it's like a paid prison sentence. Like they
yeah.
eat in one area only, and like social, like it's,
yeah.
Like I, the fact that I have friends still on board working on cruise ships when they had a 2-year break to figure out shit,
yeah,
in their lives, so they don't have to go back on cruise ships, and then went back. It's like, motherfuckers don't have any lives. I get
it. Yo, my man, they just love it, you know. Hmm? People would be like, "Why are we doing open mics and like still doing this stuff?" They don't know how much.
We well, because if we do an open mic, we can go home and see our family afterwards.
Yeah, I guess.
If you're on a cruise ship for 6 or 9 months, it's like.
I guess.
The fuck you doing? I mean, like, and you're like, so my friend David, he's been doing it for fucking ever, and like, yeah. I don't think he's ever going to stop. Like, he's going to be,
yeah,
until they force him to leave, doing it, and then when they force him to leave, he will have no idea what to do with the rest of his life.
Yeah, yeah.
No hobby.
He's gonna have sea legs. He's just gonna. He's just like not gonna know how to walk on land.
It's bad, man.
How bad is it get like storm wise? Have you seen some bad ones?
No, nothing too terrible. Like rocky seas, but like,
yeah.
So like, if you were on a cruise ship, you might think, oh my God, we're going to die. But like,
yeah.
Because I've been on a few rocky runs. I'll be like, no, we're fine.
Yeah.
If I start fucking panicking, that's when you
should. Then that's a problem.
Like, if I'm like, oh God, this does, is that the ocean over top of the ocean?
That's but like, no, if I take you to a black after party.
Oh, bro.
If I'm cool, everything is cool. But if you see me like doing like running or something, just follow me. You know what I mean?
So can I tell you? So like we were docked in Puerto La Cala, and we were doing a dry dock. So a dry dock is when like we're not in the water and they're doing.
Yeah. Right?
And so they asked me to stay on for another extra 2 weeks. So we stayed in Puerto La Cala, and my friend Ryan, who's from New Orleans, his girlfriend and a friend of mine, we went to this club in Puerto La Cala. Caribbean.
Where's Puerto La Cala again?
Somewhere in the Caribbean. Very hot.
Okay. What very island hot. Though?
Very hot, very black. And I walk okay. in and I walk into this bar, the whitest of the white guys. Like just just like I don't know if you could, and I don't know if you've ever seen like a shining star of a white man in a black club, but I was that shining star where like everyone's gaze was like, what are you doing this?
Place. That's how I feel every time I walk in Joe Cool. See that right. You got the feeling of the opposite. Huh?
Brilliant pull. And so my friend is from New Orleans all the time, and right, so like he knows that culture, he's used to it. And I'm like, dude, I don't feel comfortable here. And he's like, just be cool. I'm like, all right, fine. Have a few shots, a few drinks, and then I go outside and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
And these guys are smoking weed. I'm like, hey guys, could I bum a smoke of a joint? They're like, yeah, just come around the corner with us. I'm like. No.
Yeah.
I'm not. Pardon?
That was a great business decision you made there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, yeah.
You just gotta be so alert when you're on these islands, man. They're just, it's like so, it's desperation. They're so dirt poor. You almost can't blame them for being criminals. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, dude. I got Dominican almost had a little situation like that, like come around the corner situation, and I almost did. I got a little too comfortable because I'm black, but you're still not there, kind of, you're not from there, you know?
Yeah.
You have to be, have your head on a swivel.
So what's it like? So how long have you been doing comedy then?
Okay. So I'm very similar trajectory to you, man. Did my first open mic maybe in 2015 and then never got back on stage for, I just did it as a dare kind of thing, like bucket list, and then didn't do it again for maybe another year. And then started doing a couple more, and then COVID hit, right?
Right, yeah.
And then realized how much I missed it. Like, didn't realize how much I loved this thing. People were like, try Zoom. And I'm like, no, man. I need
no, that's just,
I need direct drugs into my vein. You know, I need the fans, the people laughing right there, you know?
My wife works for Lululemon, and they had, like, a a staff event. And they had, like, two comedians perform for us on Zoom. Fucking terrible.
How brutal was that?
I mean, they tried. They had some really funny stuff, and I was like, I had like signs saying LOL or haha. I'd like show my
support. Yeah.
Because we like our mics were dead and everything. Yeah. But like it, like I could see them just like in their mind's eye, I could see them be like, the fuck am I doing in my life? It's like,
dude, if you can pull off a Zoom session, like that's tough as heck, man. It's hard to do comedy when there's people there.
It's hard to do comedy. When there's a room full of just comedians as well. Like, absolutely. All these learning lessons that we're learning in this journey. I mean,
yeah, I take everything negative. I try to turn every negative into a positive. So like I did a a show where there's like five people because of weather. And then I just try to give those five people like the best show I could give them. You know what I mean? And Ivan kind of gave me that advice. And I've had some good guys like you and Ivan and Pat Tiffin just be super nice to me, you know? Being a little bit funny helps, I guess, but
like. Yeah, no, it's interesting. Because, I mean, like, not for nothing, but, like, so I wanted to ask you, like, what is it with you, like, coming, like, because, like, it's not, it's fucking so weird to say this, but, like,
the
comedy scene in Canada, well, primarily in London where we are, it's a whole lot of whites. So, like, being African-American, being Black, like, you're talking about stuff that a lot of people have no, like, relevance of, right? So, how do you balance that act?
It's tough, right? But it's like, it's a huge advantage as well, right? It's like content that you guys can't really get into if you have an experience. I'm sure there's lots of white guys have experienced what I've experienced, but, and there is comedy, I don't know, there's guys out there, they just need to get their voice heard, but I find it like an advantage, right? I can talk about maybe stuff that's not being ordinarily talked about. So I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm the Barack Obama after white president. Black guy, right? So, but I'm also a Canadian and I'm also just a regular guy who grew up in London too. So, you know, so it's good. I get the kind of best of both worlds.
When did you, like your first time, like you said, your first time on stage 2015?
Yeah.
And now you're taking it more seriously like I am, although I haven't been to an open mic in fucking weeks just because life is a cunt sometimes, but you know, that's the way life is sometimes. Like, how do you balance the work life and comedy night? Like, how, like, cause I know you got talent. I know you're wanting to do and travel in Toronto and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So I got kind of lucky. So that's why I'm going hard. So I was in the car business for 5 years, had my own little, we used to buy cars from the insurance auction, fix them up and then resell them. We had like a body shop. COVID kind of messed that up and turned like something that looked like a curse. I turned into a blessing. We sold our body shop and I was able to kind of chill. I got a few cars left over. I kind of transitioned to doing more parties and stuff. I was doing like a bunch of like during COVID doing underground parties and stuff that helped me make a little bit of money. But I'm in a situation where I'm like, I gave myself this summer kind of thing where I have enough kind of money to keep me going. And I have a couple little things going on the side. But I'm able to go hard. Like I'm able to travel. Like I went to visit a friend in Ottawa and I was able to stay with him. So that's cheap. And then I was like, hey, let me do as many shows as I can out there. And then you realize, hey, man, it's not the same everywhere. Like, you can't just get on open mics, right? A lot of places are book shows. So I had to, like, do the legwork. I had to message guys, be like, hey, man, I know this is weird. I'm kind of funny. Can you give me, like, 5 minutes? So I crushed it with my best stuff in the 5 minutes. And then they booked me a bunch of other shows, right? Mm. So I had to learn that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, like, are you learning it more quickly because you're putting the
Absolutely. I feel like in this month, it's just been a whirlwind, man. It's just been three nights a week.
I feel like everyone's shows, like I haven't been to Poachers in a while, but I see the photographs. I'm like, holy shit. Like it's like everyone wants to go and laugh now, which is like prime for everyone for them. So I'm hoping after I'm still a little bit sick from like last week and everything. So I'm like, I'm very like that self-conscious about infecting people with whatever. So like, I'm like, all right.
That's all I care about. What is like giving it to somebody? I don't care about getting it.
Oh no, I don't have COVID. That's the thing though. It's like we just got the flu. Like as soon as the mask mandate ended, we got the flu. It's like motherfuckers. It's like,
but you start coughing in public. It's like everyone's looking at you. Like you know what I mean? It's so
dude.
So
it's different. Like so. Like my wife and I, we were supposed to have our 3 year wedding anniversary on Thursday. I booked the table at Mezzanine's. And my wife's still coughing. She's like, let's not go. I don't want to face the judgment.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's fucking, it's strange times, man. So like, what made, like you got in on a dare, right?
But not even a dare, just bucket list stuff. I'd always make my buddies, yeah.
Yeah, but like, how do you fall in love with it? Because a lot of people do it on like a whim or a dare.
Yeah.
And they have that one story they can tell at house parties. Like, oh, I did comedy once and it went so great. Look at my jokes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But like to be able to force yourself to go on stage again and again and face that ridicule or praise it takes someone with a little bit of a weird thing in their mind. I don't know what the word would be, but like, we're weird.
I just knew I was something. I don't know. Like when I was a kid, you know, I don't know if it was stupid confidence or what it was. It was just like, man, I'm going to, like, I saw Jim Carrey and all these guys and I'm like Hollywood was it for me, you know? So I grew up wanting to like write screenplays, wanting to be like just involved in Hollywood some way. I didn't know how it was going to be, you know what I mean? But I wanted to be involved and I started making movies with my brothers and sisters and my friends when I was super young. And like, I just shoot the shit. Obviously, I like, you know how every comedian story is. You're not the funniest guy in your group, but I always gravitated towards the funniest guys. People gravitated towards me. And funny enough, I tried out for my school talent show to do an improv thing with another stand-up guy that we started together, and they denied us. So we didn't get in and then didn't do stand-up for a couple years after that. But you just got to keep going, man. I think there's going to be lots of like, just dead ends, and you just, I don't know. It does take a psycho to do this stuff, though, I think. It takes a certain weirdo.
So I think I personally have the benefit of like having traveled and having had a life outside of comedy, outside of professional wrestling as well, and like all these little bits everywhere.
I want to ask you about that too.
Yeah, sure, man. If you have any questions, I can answer them. That's no problem. But like, I think one of the key things with me, and I find that I think not a lot of people have this, and I want to ask you if you have it, is that like a lot of people go full in on this very rare thing that if you hit it, great, but maybe 2% of the people that are comedians actually become professional, like, comedians. So how do you balance your expectations in terms of like, you know, you're new to the scene, you're very talented, you also hit like a demo that isn't necessarily like, it's different than the one that's in London. So like, how do you balance all those expectations to like keep grounded and like, hey, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon sort of thing?
I don't know. I don't balance it, honestly. I don't balance it. It's balls to the wall, right? It's let's give it my 100% effort and just see where it lands, right?
But how do you deal with disappointment though? Like, I know, because you're not always gonna have a great set. You're not always gonna have a good interaction with the promoter.
Yeah,
you know, there are gonna be misses. So, like, do you have a system?
Chappelle said something that I took to heart. He goes, "You have to separate your self-esteem and the work at some point, right? So because you had a bad set doesn't mean you're a bad person or like, and it's hard to do, man." It's like, I would compare it to be a diehard Raptor fan. After a big playoff win, I'm going to go for beers. I'm going to feel good, right? After a good set, you're going to feel good, obviously, and do stuff. But you have to try to, like, and going up as fast as you can helps, I've noticed. Going up again, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's pain. Like, I the way I go through life is you need, for pain, for pleasure, you need pain, right? For joy, you need contrast. So there's going to be disappointment, but... also take that into consideration when you have a great set. Have gratitude. Gratitude is big, right? Gratitude for a good set, because it could have been a bad, it could have been a bad reception, right?
So outside of comedy, like, what do you feel gratitude for then? Is that to kind of help you?
Oh, bro, like, just lately, every day I try to like just be grateful for something, and it's basically just waking up, bro. It's meeting you guys. It's my friends and family. I got like a really good support system that allows me to like give it a try for a couple months, you know? And like, you guys that go to work for 8-9 hours and then have to write jokes and then go to the open mics, I don't know, like, I have so much respect for that, you know? I barely could get on stage when I was working full time. So that's a little, and I feel like I have a little bit of advantage, which is a little unfair. I'm not really, all I'm doing is jokes right now. Like, I'm balls to the wall jokes. I wake up and write.
Outside of jokes and performing, like, open mics and paid gigs, are you writing down, like, scripts? Are you doing anything else to get that comedy funny?
I'm actually not. I'm not doing scripts. I've actually just said I'm going to concentrate on the stand-up right now.
So, like, what would be your, like, routine? Like, are you... like, I loved... I don't know if you saw... I think it was Ball Hog, where Segura was just like... The opening montage is him at a coffee shop watching a couple of fighting. He's like, "Yeah, that's funny." Put him right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
you, like, where do you find your material? Like, is it just a life experience?
Funny
like,
enough, what I'll do is there? I have a couple sources. So I experiencing life is huge. So just going out and doing different things, right? like going to a, a rock climbing place or a place you wouldn't normally push yourself to do something weird. So you get the story. So everything's a story at this point, right? So pushing myself to do new things is big. And then funny enough, just TikTok. Like I'll just be swiping through and an idea will give me an idea or a funny word, right? I'll see a funny word, I don't know. And then I'll say, okay, maybe I could. And I've started doing that. Like I can get a punchline out of this, you know? And then you'll write the joke later. I've actually done that, which is cool. You ever done that? Wrote a joke in reverse almost?
Yeah, like I usually start with like just a bullet point. Like I'll have like notes on my phone and I'm just like,
yeah,
a bullet point, and then like I'll try and work it out. I mean, I'm still new. I can't say I'm very good, but just kind of doing the work. Like I have some moments and, you know, I think everyone has moments to start off.
We're all just trying and failing, right?
Yeah, and it's like, but it's so addictive, like you said. It's like you want that drug in your veins, like just performing, making people laugh.
Yeah,
but it's that's fucking, how I know it I sucks do it when it goes badly.
It does, but here's the thing though. It sucks because we care, right? So you can also frame it. Your perspective is huge, right? How you frame it. People are like, "Hey, G, are you nervous before you go on stage?" And blah blah blah. I'm like, "Yeah," but I channel that nervousness because I know I'm nervous because I care. I care about how this is going to go. It's not just willy-nilly up there freestyling. And I got a kid, I think, you know, I don't know if you know this kid, I'm not going to say his name, but he just keeps freestyling. And I'm like, anyone, he's like, "Gee, can you give me some advice?" I'm like, "Write some jokes, man. If you're going to do this, take it seriously. Like, it's okay to freestyle. That's your thing. But at some point, this is about telling jokes."
Yeah. You can't just wing it every single time. Like,
No
comedian just wings it. Like, I think the only time I've ever heard of a comedian that just wings it is, I think it was, Rogan mentioned him when it was not during the Comedy Store special, fucking Undercover Brother. Who was that guy?
Okay. I'll pop up. But he's a crowd work, but it's not just winging it. It's 20 years of experience.
No, but who was the actor that did Undercover Brother?
Oh, and Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin, yeah. Like, yeah, he was the only guy that I that people said, like, he could just go up with nothing and, like, work a room for fucking 4 hours or something.
I saw Russell Peters do 30 minutes of crowd work. Russell Peters does a ton of crowd work.
Yeah, and so I think that's one of the things that, like, I'm that's one of the things I try and focus on a little bit more when I'm hosting is the crowd work, kind of get them into the show. Yeah. Like it's, I actually like hosting a lot more than I do performing.
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you find a big difference between hosting and doing a set?
Hosting, you don't really have the pressure of like making the people laugh, but like you can use the comedian set and bounce off ideas based off what they did and what they just did. Like last show we had at Fork River, like the guy that shit the bed with the Ricotta Putin show. Yeah. It's like, what you guys just saw was a great performance up until the end.
So, like, was that the musician guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a really good presence. Yeah. I think I got his Hughes. He's got some, if he wants to do it, he can do it. He's got the presence for sure.
Yeah. So last show we did, we had 19 comedians, which is definitely too many. We talked about it. So if anyone goes over their time, I'm giving them like a 45 second window, and then the mic's can go down.
Oh yeah.
Just to mute them on stage.
Yeah. So is it okay? And now here's what I'm having trouble with, because I'm new, just like pretty much new. I'm not some like old vet, but then people would ask me advice and I don't feel that comfortable giving advice because I don't feel like I'm that experienced to even start giving advice either, you know?
So in that vein, you do have experience because you probably watched enough comedians perform. You've seen enough content. You've seen enough entertainment. Like we're in our mid 30s. Like we have the experience of life.
Yeah.
We also have the experience of having seen a lot of entertainment. So like,
we're not
professionals in any sense of the word, but we also have, some knowledge on how to help someone perform.
That's a good way of looking at it, right? Because I feel like I have input that can help, but I also don't want to tell you how to do comedy.
Yeah, and so, like, if someone ever asks you for advice, I would just be like, cool, I can give you advice, but, like, it's not going to be great advice. So, and that way you take the pressure off yourself. So if you want my 2 cents, go for it, but it's not going to help you.
So the advice I've been giving a lot is just, like, general advice, but I find, like, I've been giving this one a lot is just compress it, man. The story's too long. There's not that many punchlines in it.
I think one of my favorite things is I do, like, I'm at that age now because I am married where I do start giving unsolicited advice, you know, old man. So
because your wife is always giving you advice, like always bossing you around. So now you gotta offload it somewhere else.
No, it's not bossing around. It's just keeping me in line. Okay, there's a difference. Jesus, bro. Like, come on.
I see you looking off in the corner. Is it okay? You're saying
staring right now. What are you doing?
You okay? No, like, blink. Give me like, a blink, man. Is she
but like, no,
you okay?
But it is like I have so many like I've like I try not to have an ego with all the stuff that I've done because yeah. like it means absolute dog shit to so many people. But I do have, you know, a lot of stories and a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So like I try and just get advice. Like I see some people who are like running themselves ragged, and I'm like, just take a breath. Like just calm down. Like it's not don't try and do it all at once sort of thing. Like it's my old time advice for everyone sort of thing. But
yeah.
But like one of the things I love doing is like I love hearing jokes, and then like I'll hear a joke and I'll be like, oh, there's a way to punch that up, and I'll think of the way and be like, hey, can I, and I just go, hey, can I give you some unsolicited advice? And if they say no, then I don't give it. But you know, I always want to try and help people, you know, with their shit.
I think that's a huge compliment, trying to punch up somebody else, because I don't do it often. But I think that means you like their joke and you think it can get better, right?
But at the same time, I've also like gone to comedians and say, hey, what did you think of my material? And they don't really give you any advice on how to punch up the joke. They're just like, oh, it just, you know, the way that you say it, like it kind of makes them uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. So how would it fix it? I don't know. All right, what the fuck is that?
Exactly. So it's like, tough. That's why I've stopped really asking non-comedians for advice, because it's weird, right?
Yeah. Like right? it's one of those, well, I've asked comedians that, and that's the response I've gotten from them. So,
yeah.
So I'm like, so it's like very, it's like, I've run into it. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
Like, and it's very parallel to wrestling too, where it's like the comedians have been performing, the wrestler's been performing for so long.
Yeah.
They don't have the breakout yet.
Yeah.
But like they don't watch any comedy and they don't watch any wrestling anymore. So like they don't know anything new. They don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like they're just stuck in their own like little world. And it's like, so you're doing this out of spite now is what you're
saying. Yeah. I found that super weird. Like you'll talk to a comic and you'll be like, no, I don't watch Seven Stand Up. I don't want it to influence me. And you're thinking to yourself, you need some influence. These are like the best people in the world doing it.
I like so many, and you have to watch too, because like, you'd hate for like, you know, you go up on stage and you say this bit and then you find out that like, I don't know, Russell Peters or Tony Hinchcliffe is already
like a very bit, similar
you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like, you can do it, but like, that means you need to change the variation. But if it's exact, it's like people are going to think you're plagiarizing. Yeah. You can't have that comedy.
Yeah. And it can also be a compliment. Like I had a little situation like that. I had one of my first jokes ever written. It was a very general joke. So you have to know if you say something general, like a lot of human beings have same thoughts.
Yeah.
Right. So one of my first jokes I ever wrote was, oh, isn't like camping mocking homeless people? Right. Cause you have a home, but you're like, F you, I'm going to sleep outside. And then like Jerry and Eddie Murphy on Getting Comedian Coffee with Comedians or whatever.
Yeah.
You know that show?
Yeah.
So they kind of do it as a throwaway line in there, and those are the biggest comedians in the world. So now you can't say anymore, which kind of sucks.
But not I wonder like if they, I wonder if they took the, I, but in that case though, I wonder if they took that throwaway line and used it in any other bits. Cause I know Jerry has kind of just been doing the same
stuff
forever. Right. And Eddie hasn't performed in
Jesus,
40 years almost.
But I took it almost like a compliment. Okay, I'm thinking funny at least.
If these two greats are thinking that sort of that
they're thinking that, and I'm thinking A, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this comedy stuff, it's an obsession. And I got a bit about how everyone's a crackhead for something, and I'm a crackhead for laughs. Like I called my friends in the middle of the night looking for I'll tell them knock knock jokes for a laugh. You know what I mean? I just love it though. I never really loved anything this much.
I just picture you as like a Saw character, like, do you want to play a game? And it just and then it just makes everyone into like seating arrangements, and you come on stage and perform. it's just you behind a plexiglass. Like, and like, is this the game? It's like, yes, laugh. Okay.
What's sad? If I was a really rich dude, I would just do that. Like, what's stopping you? Like a rich guy who's not that funny and comedy? Just like force people? just force comedy onto people and they have to come because you're paying them, kind of.
Have you ever heard the Jim Jefferies story about when he performed for Mariah Carey's husband?
No, but the old, I remember him. He died, but I remember him.
So like Jim Jefferies is in the kitchen and Eddie Murphy walks in. Eddie Murphy's like, "What are you doing here?" And Jim Jefferies like, "I'm here to perform comedy." And he was like, "Oh, that's going to be terrible." And he walked away. And so like he starts doing his set in front of like Mariah Carey, Mike Tyson, all these fucking big wigs or whatever the fuck it is. And Mariah Carey's husband's like, "Who the fuck are you?" Oh, and then he remembers he has the guns bit, and he's just like, "Yeah, do the guns bit. I want to see the guns bit." And that's all he does.
At least he had the guns bit to fall back on.
But like, it's one of those things where like you think Jefferies, who's fucking one of the best in the world right now, even he had to do some weird shit, like just for money.
Yeah. I think that's the key for all this. I think you've got to have the story of like, I did a show in a hallway. I did a show in the back of a psychiatric hospital. I want those stories, you know, all the weirdo gigs, right? I'll take a gig anywhere at this point, man.
All right, cool. So that being said, don't ever do a gig if they're wearing hoods.
Is that what it is?
I'm gonna say maybe don't do that.
I'd want to do that.
Would you?
I'm the kind of guy like, I'm the kind of guy that's like, I can make these guys laugh. Just tell some racist jokes. I don't know. I'll be into that.
Elijah Clinton Bigsby is now our comedian.
So, okay, I got a quick story about that bit. That probably got me into comedy. Like, I was probably like a teenager when that came out, and like seeing Chappelle do that skit show, it was like, holy crap, you can change the world doing comedy, man.
Bro,
he made racist people look so stupid.
I think my favorite one of his is the Wayne Brady.
So do you know the story behind that?
What?
Do you know the story behind that?
I don't know, but every time something goes wrong in my life, I always think in my head, like, is Wayne Brady gonna have to choke a bitch? I think I'm gonna get this car.
In your head, is it Mitchell Duncan though? In your head,
it is. Yeah. It's always Wayne Brady's voice, which is the fucked up part.
You have a black guy that sounds like a white guy in your head? That's so weird.
So
the story behind that is that Wayne Brady was upset about a joke they made like a couple episodes prior, and he called in. I was like, "Hey man, like I don't like why are you making fun of me?" And Chappelle was basically like, "Hey man, just come, let's do a skit. Like let's solve this, let's be friends, kind of thing. Let's just we'll come up with a skit and blah blah blah." And they kind of something like, I don't know if exactly that's how that happened, but he was upset about a prior skit where they compared him to Brian Gumbel.
Yeah,
because Wayne Brady makes Brian Gumbel look like Malcolm X.
So, like, when we're talking about our love of comedy, right? Because I didn't get into my love of comedy. Like, I always loved comedy, but, like, you know, sometimes it just takes one thing to really, like, kick your ass and, like, be full into it. Who are some of your favorites?
So, the Mount Rushmore for me is Chappelle's my favorite comedian of all time.
Yeah, of course.
That's the guy for our generation, it's probably the guy, right? And then obviously Richard Pryor before him, that who influenced him. Eddie Murphy. I'm a huge Jerry Seinfeld fan. And then he's not really a stand-up comedian, but Larry David. I'm a huge Seinfeld guy.
But like you're a student of the game then, eh? Like I have a problem going back and watching the old stuff because like I feel like it's very topical for the time. So I don't really get it.
Yeah.
So like if I had to put like a Mount, I don't even have Mount Rush, but like Daniel Sloss is like fucking fantastic. I love Daniel.
Yeah.
Sloss.
Is it Daniel Tosh?
No, Daniel Sloss.
Oh, so, okay. Sorry about that.
Daniel Tosh is also another great comedian. I saw him.
He's very good. He's underrated comedian.
I saw him perform in London, actually.
He makes a lot of money. He just sells everything out. Yeah. And he's not all over the place, man. It's weird. Yep.
Segura's great.
Yeah.
Kreischer's great. I love Brian Simpson. Miss Pat is hilarious.
Miss Pat, fucking, I learned about Miss Pat from Rogan, right?
Like yeah, yeah, same, probably. Same.
I gotta check out her TV show. Man. Yeah.
What did you say?
I just think Miss Pat's awesome.
I would love to see her live. I feel like I would be howling. She'd be like pointing at the white guy laughing, like, "Are you allowed to laugh?" I'm like, yeah. "I don't care. It's just fucking like senior
yeah,
show."
Yeah.
I feel like a lot.
So do you still watch specials?
Yeah, of course.
You still watch specials?
I try and watch one a week at least.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm gonna start trying to do.
Like especially like a lot of the comedians like Mark Norman, Josh Wolf, there's a shit that they're
Mark Norman is one of my I love Mark Norman, one of the newer guys.
Yeah.
I love his kind of one-liners type. Because exactly. Rodney Dangerfield is one of my favorites.
Those jokes are so smart. They're so intuitive. But I love how like a lot of the comedians are taking the bull by the horns and like releasing some of their stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like whether it be a crowd working bit and stuff like that. I know Dana CK and Guelph, she's starting to do that a little more. Like that's good. We need that. We need to like do our more social media, like take control of it ourselves. So like, I mean, down the line, like I have a production background. I know Macintosh and Tyler have production backgrounds. I was like,
yeah,
I would love if we could get all the comedians who are like really talented together at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm not throwing myself in that name at all. Not yet, anyways. But if we could do like a 10 episode special where everyone gets like 15 minutes and like film it nicely and like release it on YouTube, I think it'd be huge.
Oh, we'll get it done, man. Do you love the energy in London right now?
It's gone. It ebbs and flows, right? Because I've known them for about a year and a half now, right? So after you've known people for a year and a half, you know, egos and rumors and all the fun stuff that happens with a community happens. Like, and but the benefit is like I've been a part of the professional wrestling community where that shit is notorious. So like it really doesn't affect me as much as it should does, or some people would like it to affect me, sort of thing.
You know what I do? I just chalk it up to human nature. Everything gets tribal at some point. I'm not just saying that because I'm African, but but it just does, right? I don't know why we do it. And we have to try to get away from that. And it's more about ego.
And that's like part of the reason why I enjoy putting on my own show is because then I don't have to have that ego because I just want everyone to perform. I want everyone to do well. And I want everyone to have a kick-ass set. And I also, like, even if it's not a great set, I also love the weirdness of it all. Like, I'm very much in that vein of like the Tony Hinchcliffe to Kill Tony vibe. Like, if some weird shit happens, like that's the better. It's awesome. I love it.
I love turning negatives into positives or perceived negatives into positives. So like you said a lot of that my comedy maybe might not hit, but a lot of my comedy will hit because it's still Canadian stuff or London stuff. And I'm still just a human. Like I went to high school in Canada. So we have a lot, we go to Tim Hortons the same way. There's still lots of similarities, right?
Yeah.
I just drink Hennessy and you drink blue. I don't know.
Comedy is, it is universal because everyone, like you said, a lot of people think the same. So if you can hit that one same note that everyone's thought of, but they can't vocalize, it's going to be cool. We're going to wrap up here, G.
Well, that was quick, man.
Man. My Zoom is running out of time. We can do this.
No problem, no problem. Is that what you say when it's not going well?
No. I'll take a picture of it right now. I can show you I have.
Yeah, I'm going to do that quickly too, but that was awesome, man.
I got fucking three minutes left.
Okay. I believe. Hey, I might come on your other podcast just to like get off some jokes.
Bro, it's
now I might come on. I had so much fun on this one.
We had Shazma on today's episode.
he's the tough guy.
Bro, he was so horrified by some of the dicks that he saw. He was just like he's the lowest scores anyone's ever given a dick on the show's history. And he's just like the one dick he saw, he's like, And that was my scores.
So these are real. These are real. These aren't dick reenactments.
These are real dick pics. Because my friend Justine recently got single, right? So like she's in the dating pool now. So
did she ask for them or they're unsolicited?
So she was starting to get unsolicited dick pics, right?
Yeah.
So many. And then we were talking to the bar. And I'm like, oh, why don't we turn that shit into a show and we just judge dicks? And so
that's amazing.
So like now they are solicited, and like we're gonna hopefully work on a Patreon where like we can actually show the images and shit like that. But it's I've been busting my ass on this podcast for about over a year.
Yeah.
And within two episodes, it's fucking skyrocketed way over this thing that we're doing.
Of course. Now. And so, I've been doing dick jokes, so they get so many laughs. I gotta get away from that though. It's like a cheap out kind of.
That's the go-to for every male comedian.
Yeah, exactly. Is
start talking about their dicks or anything. So G, where can people find you on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you at?
Okay, so first of all, on Instagram, it's poppy_GTV. On Snapchat, where I do most of my clips, I do most of my craziness on Snapchat, and that's SnapGTV, all one word. And then on Facebook, it's GTelly. But I'm usually Mondays, I'm at Poachers, Scott's Corner every other Tuesday. And then we do this hot dog show that has been going really well, and people really seem to love it, at Frankenfurter's every Wednesday. And I'm going to be there. If I'm in London, I'm doing that Frankenfurter's every Wednesday.
Yeah, we need a Thursday night just to keep the week going.
Yeah, man. I'd love a weekend show. We'll talk about that.
I think.
But thank you, man.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep the Fork River shows the open mic just because like it gives like a Friday or a Saturday opportunity to perform.
Absolutely.
For the people that aren't doing the paid gigs. But yeah, man.
Yeah.
G, thank you so much. It's been a blast. Thanks for being on the podcast.
You too, buddy. Have a good one. Peace.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with G. I love the chats, and that's how you pick off cat hair off my microphone sleeve for the camera, on camera people, they can see that, watch it. You can check out G at poppy_GTV on Instagram. That's at PAPI_GTV on Instagram. He's gonna be doing a ton of shows in the London, Ontario area, and I have no doubt that he'll be doing more and more shows throughout Ontario as the year goes on. It's summertime, shows are happening everywhere. If you're a fan of comedy, support it. If you're a fan of wrestling, support it. If you're a fan of live entertainment, go out and treat yourself, guys. It has been a hell of a past, like 2.5-3 years now, and you know, life's too short. I think everyone's kind of realizing life's too short to stay inside and worry about things that are out of your control. So do me a favor, if you're listening to the podcast, go outside, go to an event, go to the bar, go to a restaurant, and just go see something, go do something for me, please, because I want you all to be happy. In the meantime and in between time, again, go back and visit G as Instagram at poppy_GTV. But I also have a brand new podcast with my friends Justine and Keely called To Dick or Not To Dick, where we rate dick pictures that are sent to @dickjudgment@gmail.com. So please go ahead and do yourself a favor and check that out. It's on Spotify, Amazon Music, and I think anywhere else podcasts are available. But thank you again for listening to this one. Check out the new podcast, To Dick or Not To Dick. But stay tuned to Hello, How Are You Today for more conversations like the one we had today with G.